This is the, where Christ took the disciple to the mountain, right? Then when he was coming down, they was kind of confused because they saw Elijah and Moses. So they had some question. So Christ came and found also the scribes, kind of like bothering them and asked them in verse 16, it says, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? So Christ had their back here, right? Then verse 20, it says, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straight, the spirit or him tarried him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed in foam, right? Then Christ is asking this man here, like in the medical field, we say he's taking history taken here, because Christ says, how long is ago since this came unto him? So he's here like express all the thing that he saw his son, but he couldn't hold longer. He says, verse 23, no, verse 22. On the last part, it says, destroyed him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, he came, because remember, this man, right, brought it to the disciple first. Then the disciple couldn't do anything. So when he came to Christ, he came with a little doubt. He said, you think you can do it? Christ responded almost the same thing in verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. So he came to Christ with what? A little doubt. What did Jesus actually told this man? There's no power lack on my side. Do you believe that I can do it? So another thing, Jesus only could have healed that boy through this father's faith, or if he believed. Did you know that this man's son, right? The healing depend upon the Father's faith. Friends, how many of us that may have someone that we are praying for that we recognize nothing is happening? Then we ask ourselves, how is our belief? Or how is our faith? And that's why he said, he that come to him must, it's necessary. If we want to see the power of God, we must believe. It's the only way, friends, if we want to see the power of God. It's a necessary to believe. So it's a must. So we're going to look into a few things in the Christian life which is necessary. Believe is one. It's a necessary. It's a must. I said the healing of the Son depends upon the Father's faith. It says, he that come to me, I will no wise cast out. Cast yourself at his feet with the cry, Lord, I believe. Help thou unbelief. You can never perish while you do this. Never. Friends, all of us deal with some belief. Remember, when Christ told him, do you believe? He says, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Friends, there's some circumstances sometimes creates unbelief because this man, they brought it to the disciple, closest buddy to Jesus, right? And they couldn't do anything. So he came to Christ, kind of limited the power of Christ because of Jesus' friends. Friends, sometimes like we might have friends that may fail us, but guess what? God won't. But we cannot come to Christ with doubt. even though when we come to Christ with doubt, we can pray this prayer here. It says you can never perish while you do this. Never. So come boldly in the throne of grace and obtain mercy in the times of need. The other one is abide, right? This is where our story came, our scripture reading in Luke chapter 19. Let's start with verse 1. It says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Verse 3 says, and he wants to see Jesus, which is a good thing, right? Then it says, and Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up to the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way, right? It's a great thing to want to see Jesus, right? And he climbed the sycamore tree. He saw Jesus. These things are necessary. But it's not the end, friends. Because it's good to have the desire to see Jesus. It's good to see Jesus. But Jesus wanted one thing, which is in a verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus. It says, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. It's a good thing, friends, to see Jesus. It's a good thing to see Jesus. But the main thing, he must abide with us. Right? Because if Jesus didn't abide with Zacchaeus, he couldn't bring forth much fruit. As a John 15 verse 5 says, it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abide in me and I in him, for without me, you can do nothing. So if we want to bring forth much fruit, friends, he must abide. That's what he told Zacchaeus, because the Holy Spirit already started working in Zacchaeus' life, right? Because that's why he wants to see who this Jesus is. But that was not enough. Even though what he saw, it's not enough. And that's why Jesus says, I must abide in your house. And then let's turn to John chapter 1. We see that the benefits of abiding. John chapter 1. This is where John the Baptist was preaching. Let's start with verse 37. It says, and the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Remember, they heard of Jesus, right? Because John says, behold, the Lamb of God. So they behold him. They heard, but still, it's not enough, right? Then they continue. Verse 38, it says, then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek ye? What kind of questions are you? Imagine someone come to you and says, why are you following Jesus? What is your motive? Right? It's an interesting question because Jesus saw them and says, what are you looking for? Then it said, they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, be interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt. And guess what? And abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. So they went And guess what? They abide with Christ. We don't know what Christ told them there, but we saw one of the fruits by being abiding with Christ. Because if you continue reading, it says one of them that was there was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Do you remember what he did? He went to go get his brother and brought it to Christ. And that's the benefits of abiding. Let's go back to Luke, because there's some things that I want to point out there, because I find it really interesting here, because in Zacchaeus, right? God is amazing, friends. Because long before Zacchaeus could see Jesus, guess what? That tree was already planted to meet his need. Long time ago. Before Zacchaeus knew, I'm sure he passed by that tree many times. But that day, that tree became his. It says here, our God is a very present help in time of need. He is acquainted with the most secret thoughts of our hearts, with all the intents and purpose of our souls. When we are in perplexity, even before we open to him our distress, he is making arrangements for our deliverance. Praise God, right? Because before Zacchaeus knew, right, his need was already provided a long time ago. It's the same thing here. It says, even before we open to him our distress, he is making arrangement for our deliverance. Psalms 139 says, before we open our tongue, he knows us all together. That's the God that we serve, friends. But I just want to also come back here into, because Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus. He saw Jesus, right? But still, it's not enough. Friends, even sometimes we can be distracted with even the good things. Because even in doing this type of work, we can miss the purpose of this work. Listen to this. It says, in excitement which then pervaded Capernaum, it says there was a danger that the object of his mission will be lost sight of. Jesus was not satisfied to attract attention to himself merely as a wonder worker or a healer of physical disease. He was seeking to draw men to him as their savior. Friends, it's easy sometimes that we miss the gospel while we do these type of work as a medical missionary. And that's why when Zacchaeus had the desire to see Jesus, and he saw Jesus, and he says, I must abide in your house. A little story here. This is in Cape Verde. That, if you've seen that big, look like a big mountain, that's the smallest island of Cape Verde. So here is where I'm from, this island right here. So I went to that smallest island there. So this is when 2021, and I was doing some shots of drone there. That place, especially this place right here, beautiful, majestic. So while I was flying my drone, but the wind was kind of heavy, right? But it sent me a notification, oh, fly careful because the wind is so strong, or you can just land it. But guess what? I ignore it. So while I was doing my shot, guess what? The wind started taking, drawn further and further and further. So while I was trying to bring my drone back home, it couldn't come because the wind was so strong. Then, you know, it gives you only 30 minutes battery life. And the amazing thing about these drones, because when it's in about 30%, it starts beeping. The battery is running low. So it starts beeping. It says the battery is running low. So I couldn't bring it home because it was a really like steep area. Then and when it's about 15%, if you don't send your drone home, right, it will come back automatically. But guess what? It couldn't come because the wind was so strong. So I'm there, so just praying, as the Lord, Lord. And guess what? Well, if you don't send it back, it will say it's going to land. And guess what? I lost my drone in that place there. You know, I didn't question God, but I was like, what lesson can I learn from this? Friends, the Bible talks a lot about the wind. So we're going to look at one in Mark chapter 4. Because remember, my drone gives you only 30 minutes of battery life. Mark chapter 4. Start with verse 35. It says, and the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose what? A great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. But he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and say, unto master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Question, why that the disciple couldn't sleep, that Jesus was asleep? And when they look at Christ as master, carest thou not that we perish? And Jesus awoke and calmed the sea and the wind. But why that the disciple couldn't sleep? Listen to this. Their cry aroused Jesus. As the lightning glare reveals him, they see the peace of heaven in his face. They read in his glance self-forgetful. Tender love in their hearts, turning to him, cried, Lord, save us. We perish. Friends, they saw on Jesus self-forgetful. The disciples was trying to save themselves, and they recognized they couldn't do anything, and they cried out. They were disconnected, friends. Friends, my drone gives you only 30 minutes of battery life. Imagine if my drone gave you lifetime battery life. I would have bring that drone back. It's the same thing sometimes. Some of the winds will cut us only with 30 minutes battery life in Christ. We cannot go in Christ only charge only for 30 minutes. We got to stay connected. Abide. Because when these wind comes, there's nothing can shake us because we are connected for lifetime. Because Jesus will hold us. But the disciple was disconnected because they was trying to save themselves. But Jesus, right? If we go into Isaiah chapter 26, because remember, Isaiah chapter 26, it says, they read in his glance self-forgetfulness. Isaiah chapter 26, and I ask why that Jesus was able to sleep through this storm that the disciple couldn't. Verse 3, it says, thou wilt keep him in what? In perfect peace, whose mind stay on thee, because he trusts in thee. Friends, Jesus was connected with the Father. That's why he was in a perfect peace. But the disciple was not connected. And that's why they thought they were going to perish. But guess what? Even though sometimes that we feel that we are disconnected, we can connect it back. Because when they recognized they couldn't do anything, they disconnected and says, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And they connected back. Boom, they got the battery light. The battery was strong again. And Jesus was able to calm the storm. Friends, you see the importance of abiding in Christ? It's a must. And that's why that Jesus told Zacchaeus, I must abide for you to go forward. I must abide in your house. And we must. It's a necessary to abide in Christ. This is another one. Lift him up. It's a must. Wherever that we go, he must be lifted up. I know time is running, but we're going to touch a few here. This is what Nicodemus had interview with Christ here in John chapter 3, right? John chapter 3, verse 14. It states, as Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even so, what? Must the Son of Man be lifted up? It's a necessary to lift up Christ. Why is necessary to lift up Christ? Because John 12:32 says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Friends, do you know why there were that Jesus told Nicodemus, as Moses lift up the serpent in the word, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Do you know why? Because if they look at the serpent, right? There he, they live. It's the same thing with us, friends. Do you remember, like, Nicodemus actually did not acknowledge Christ, even though that he had the interview with Christ, but he didn't publicly acknowledge Christ after, right, until he saw this. But while Nicodemus had not publicly acknowledged Christ, when at last Christ had been lifted up on the cross, Nicodemus remembered the word that he had spoken to him in the night interview on the Mount of Olives. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It says, and he saw in Jesus the world's Redeemer. Friends, do you know why that the cross must be lifted up? Hang up on the cross. Christ was the gospel. This is our message, our arguments, our doctrine, our warning to the impenitent, our encouragement for the sorrowing, the hope for every believer. The cross must be lifted up. The cross is the gospel, friends. If you want to show someone how much they value to Christ, point them to Christ and point them to the cross. When they hear that bitter cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's for you and for me, friend. Christ didn't have to go through that. But he couldn't picture heaven to be without you and without myself. And that's why that the cross must be lifted up. That's not only the thing about the cross, but listen to this, friend. It is through the efficacy of the cross that the angels of heaven are guarded from apostasy. I mean, even the unfallen angels are guarded from the apostasy because the cross. Without the cross, they will be no more secure against evil than they were the angels before the fallen of Satan. Angelic imperfection failed in heaven. Human perfection failed in Eden. The plan of salvation made manifested. The justice and love of God provides an eternal safeguard. Praise God for the cross. Because the cross provides an eternal safeguard. That's why, I think it's in Nahum 3:6 or 3:9. Let's say the affliction should not arise the second time. You will ask why it will not arise the second time. We will still have the freedom or the free will. Right? But this right here, because when we look at the cross, we don't want to go through the same thing again. It says, the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary is our only hope in this world. And it will be our theme in the world to come. Friends, the cross must be lifted up. That's why he told Nicodemus, says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So when he saw Christ be hanging on the cross, he says he saw world's Redeemer. The other one, friends, is mission. Mission, it's a must. Right? Remember where Christ told them when the parents lost Christ and they found it, says, did you know I must be about my Father's business? John 4:4. One more, we should be wrapping it up. Because I'm sure the potluck is waiting for you guys there. John 4:4. I have to prepare two food. One is physical, one is spiritual. So I pray that you be blessed by both. John 4:4, right? It says, let's start with verse 1 just to get the context of the. It says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees and heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departs again to Galilee. So he's going to Galilee, right? But then he said in verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. Why did he need to go through Samaria? There's another way to go through Galilee. But he said he must needs go through Samaria. And you, if you know the whole story, there was a woman there. There was a mission waiting for Christ there. And that's why mission, it's a must. For example, quick story here. When I went to, last year, we went to Cape Verde. But we were supposed to be, well, we were in the capital. That's where we did all the mission. Then, after we finished there, I had to go to my island. So I saw the pastor there. He said, oh, hey, you're here. He's like, you know, you got to preach at your town. I was like, sure. Then he organized, he connected with the elder. So while I was there preaching, right, I don't know if you can see that young man all the way in the back there. So, remember, this was not on my plan of my mission. So when I went there, so the pastor saw me, he connected me, then he put me to like to speak that day. So I was preaching, but he was just literally focused. Like, he was just like into it. So while he's in the end, you know, you stay around and they come and shake the hand. Then he was like, you know, that message was for me. I'm glad that you came here. Then I was like, praise the Lord. He called me, but I didn't pick up. And he sent me a text. He's like, you know, there's so many things that I've been through. This message is literally for me. It says, Christ sent you here with a purpose. If I tell you all those things that I've been through, it's I saw death in the face, on my face. It says, but today I feel free. And I guess he left the church, right? And he was just coming back. And he says, I want to give my life back to Christ. Friends, I mean, if my mission to Cape Verde just for this one person to go back to Christ, praise God, the mission was fulfilled. But just this one person, I didn't know. And you see the importance of mission. I'm not saying you have to go overseas. Because first, we must be a missionary among our fellow workers. But mission, it's a must, is necessary. It says, let all go to work. Let all, not some, let no one fold his hand in unbelief because he thinks he can do no mighty work. cease looking at self. That's the problem here. Look at your leader in sincerity, meekness, and love. Do what you can. Do what you can, friends. If the Lord chooses your feet to do his work, give your feet to him. With the feet you may hunt for souls. It says, let all go to work. Do what you can. And just ask God to use you in a mighty way. The other way, the other one, friendly. As a Christian, we must be a friendly person. You know where I'm going with this, right? Proverbs, this is the last one here. Proverbs 18. Verse 24. It says, a man that had friends, what? Must shoot himself friendly. Friends? I'm sure all of us here has friends. Who doesn't have a friend here? We'll make friends today. Everybody has friends, right? And guess what? It says we must show ourselves friendly. Because if you remember, right? And that's why Christ told the disciple, I no longer called you a servant, but what? A friend. And when we go into Acts chapter 1, right? Christ gave this disciple a wonderful promise in Acts chapter 1. In verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power. I'm going fast because of the time. It says that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So Christ giving them an amazing promise here, right? But guess what? Verse 9, it says, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of their sight. So here's Christ giving them an amazing promise here. Then boom, Christ was taken out of their sight. Question, what did Jesus took with him to heaven? What did he took with him? Yes. His character, yes. And that's why, right? And the angels came to this man here. This is on the story here. It says, man of Galilee, why are you gazing up? It says, the same Jesus that went up also will come down as man. Jesus took with him holy humanity. And that's why they could come to the throne of grace and approach boldly, because they have a friend, someone just like them, and they can come boldly through the throne of grace. And that's why, listen to this. This is the verse. It says, in many cases, Christ ascended to heaven bearing a sanctified holy humanity. He took this humanity with him into the heavenly court. Friends, we have someone in heaven just like us who can understand when you're in pain, you and you cry, when you're distressed. And guess what? That's why we can come to him, because he understands. And that's why that disciples, right? That's why Christ says, I no longer call you a servant, as the verse here says. Henceforth, I call you not servant, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto thee. So we have friend in heaven. So we can approach boldly. So whatever that you're facing, whatever that you're struggling with, we can approach Jesus. But do you know if someone has such a friend? Listen to this. In many cases, the realization that they have such a friend means more than the suffering once in their recovery from sickness than the best treatment that can be given. such a friend. Better than many treatments. See, the blessing by having a friend. So wherever that we are, let's show ourselves friendly. Because anyone could approach Jesus. Even the little children could approach Jesus because he showed himself friendly. When I was a supervisor in the UT Pinedale for the, I guess here you guys call it therapist, but the counselor, usually before, when they take the 6-month course, when they apply for the counselors, I always ask them, are you approachable? Because even though they are assigned to the specific guests, but even sometimes the other guests may come to them, ask a question. And that's why we have to be approachable, friends. Because it says, let's read that verse again in Proverbs 18, must show himself friendly. It's a must, friend. Because even the little children could go to Jesus in approach. And that's why we as a Christian, we should be a friendly person as well. Easy to be approached. Imagine if Jesus, he wasn't a friendly. Would you approach him? No. And guess what? We are called to be his witness. So to be a friendly person, it's a must. It's a necessary. There's so many must in the Bible. This is just only a few that I've been to. Because he says, he must increase, I must decrease. It's a must, it's a necessary. But I just point a few things out, friends. Because these, believe, abide, lift him up, mission friendly, it's a necessary to do God's work. It's a must, friend. So I pray, every time that you read something in the word that you see a must, it's like, whoa, this is necessary. I need it. I need to put it into practice. Just like my friend called me yesterday, because he's going to Jamaica. He was like, hey, do you have any place here that I can, then I can go get haircuts? Because my friend told me that you know a person there. Then I told him about this person. I was like, just tell him Lewis. Then he called him and said, hey, Lewis, sent me here. He's like, oh, Lewis, the one that do the Sabbath thing. Then he says, you don't have to say anything else. So he called me. He's like, bro, it's like, actually, every time that I call someone, I have to tell them about you. It's not about me, friend. It's just being a friend. Because my goal, it was trying to point this brother here, because he's not a Christian, to Christ. But the thing is, I was trying to mingle with him, because that's Christ's method alone. Mingle. And we became friend, right? We became friend, and also he liked soccer. And I went, I did a video for him. Because my goal, it was not just because I like soccer too, but it's just not because I want to enjoy the soccer, because I know my motive is to point him to Christ. But he recognized that the mingleness. He's like, wow, this brother here is really like interesting. Like, you know, wherever that I'm going to play soccer, he's coming. So he recognized that there's something else. And even when I go to get a haircut there, he was asking, he's like, so what do you guys do on the Sabbaths? I was like, we rest. He's like, you mean like, not really like rest. So I had to kind of like express. So that kind of stuck with him. He's like, oh, Lewis, the one that did the Sabbath thing. So it was funny that my friend called me. He's like, man, every time when I'm looking for something, I have to make sure I tell them your name. Not that because I know everyone. But I was just kind of actually pointed to him as like, you know, the blessing of being a friend, a friendly person. Because it's a blessing. When someone can come to you, approach you with any burden. That's why sometimes even in our family, right? We cannot, even though we may have something hard, but they're not approachable. And that's why Christ made the disciple, told them like, I no longer call you a servant, but a friend. Because in anything, they can come to him boldly.
any little thing,
right? So, my encourage to you, remember this, believe, abide, lift him up. Mission, friendly, it's a must.